Radio.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio FreedomSlips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, FreedomSlips.com. Visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio FreedomSlips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm seeing such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace. Stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do? Bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect
us.
We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
You're listening to the Wild at Heart Roundtable with Noreen Helpan, only at Revolution Radio.
Find me on Studio B every Thursday at 17. Too strange, I strive to.
Who feared to write, to associate, to speak.
So head over to our homepage. Either go to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. Make a donation. We are listener supported, and we thank you very nicely, like Cheech and Chong says. Well, let's start off today. RT.com. Putin reveals details of Nord Stream blasts. The Russian president said Gazprom was allowed to inspect the pipeline damaged by the terrorist act. Russian President Vladimir Putin described the damage to the two Nord Stream pipelines under the Baltic Sea, telling reporters on Monday evening that Gazprom investigators saw after being allowed to inspect the site. Quote, it was an obvious act of terrorism, Putin said about the Nord Stream during a press conference in Sochi. Following his meeting with leaders of Armenia and Azerbaijan when the September blast, the damaged Nord Stream came up, the Russian president said the Gazprom was allowed to inspect the damage. Sweden had refused to involve Russia in the investigation, citing information that is subject to confidentiality, directly linked to national security. The blast tore off 40-meter section of the pipe, separated lines by 250 meters, Putin said, adding there was a piece bent by 90 degrees and thrown against another part of the Nord Stream. Putin also described accusations in the West that Russia itself might have been behind the blast as nonsense. Well, Moscow has fingered the UK, the Anglo-Saxons, as taking part in planning, supporting, and implementing the plot to destroy the gas pipeline from Russia to Germany. Defense Ministry in London responded by accusing Russia of peddling false claims of an epic scale. Who's the liar here, hijacker? I think it's the Anglo-Saxons. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, Deacon. So, like a day before the explosions, there was a pair of British subs in the area.
Well, there you go.
So I remember that report really, really early.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like right after the explosion, and then somebody says that they had reported that there was British submarines that were in the area. So, yeah, he would know. He's got the information.
British bastards, huh? The Anglo-Saxons, huh? Well, he said in May that the other speech a few weeks ago, he singled them out and called them Anglo-Saxon slave traders, slavers. So he knows what's going on here. So we got that, and then apparently the United States has decided to send upgraded smaller nuclear weapon systems to NATO and deploy it forward up by Russia. Oh my God, you believe it? Go ahead.
Yeah, not only that, is now we have changed the United States policy in which if the United States can now use nuclear weapons, even against people who don't have nuclear weapons in a conventional war, if they see fit, if they see that they're threatened. So in other words, if you're beating them on the battlefield, then basically, according to the United States policy now, the United States can use basically tactical nuclear weapons to change the game. So that is a game.
Why would you even come out and say something like that, hijacker? I wouldn't even reveal that if that were my policy or military tactical or strategic policy or orders or whatever you want to call it. I wouldn't even – why? What's the point, you know?
Because it becomes a weapon. Just the very fact, the policy itself becomes a weapon, because that's telling people that, look, we start to beat the Americans. When it gets to a certain point, these guys can break out a nuclear weapon. So maybe we shouldn't beat them so bad, or maybe we should just, you know, just to a stalemate so we don't trigger them going nuclear on us.
Here's the thing, hijacker, and I know you know the answer to this. In World War II, were the politicians or the military generals in charge? The military generals, right? And the president followed them. What happened in Vietnam? Were the military generals or the politicians in charge? The politicians were in charge, and we really screwed that up. And the Gulf of Tonkin, fake false flag. Politicians in charge. It sounds like we're going down the same role here, that we've got a pissing contest between Joe Poop My Pants Biden in the dementia stage and the great and mighty king. It seems like that to some degree. Do you think?
Yeah, well, if you want to actually take a look at how war actually changed, look at the movies, Mel Gibson's movie, We Were Soldiers, and you'll see that it was a CIA that actually, you know, authorized Mel Gibson and all those people, the air cavalry, to actually go into a particular area where they knew there was a major division, underground division of the Viet Cong. And so they on purposely landed them there, and then they were basically sucked into a war. And then you got the story of We Were Soldiers, which was actually quite accurate on what really happened. And it was a kill ratio, I think, of 22 or 24 to 1. That's how bad we beat them.
Wow.
I mean, we lost like over 100, maybe almost 200 guys, but they lost something like 2,500. I mean, we decimated them. And it was mainly our air power. We were able to pull in, you know, the air power. So whenever we get close to the line, the air power would come and just cook them, you know, with napalm and stuff. But you'll see in that movie these guys in white shirts in a tent or in some kind of structure in Vietnam, and they were actually calling the shots. And then when they realized how bloody it was actually going to be, they tried to pull them out. But the Hall, I think his name was Hall, I'm not sure, the character that Mel Gibson plays, the commander of the Americans, and he refused to to pull out and leave his men. And he stayed there to direct the war, the battle. And, so that's when the politicians took over.
Right.
And they've been doing it ever since. And now with the advent of cameras and stuff like that, they can actually watch in real time, like Benghazi. Mm-hmm. They can see in real time really what's going on. So now you really have where you've got Clinton and Obama and Bush Jr. You know, they're all calling the shots from D.C. on what to do, what not to do, that type of thing.
Well, that's not the way it should go. But anyway, we got the politicians messing things up. So where are we at with everything? What do you think the great and mighty King's next move is going to be?
He's got the way he wants it.
Yeah, I agree.
The only thing that's coming into view for him is that if he wants this war to be over quick, he's going to have to do a high-risk move, and that is to decapitate Kiev. And so some people saying that he's massing up his army in the north with the Belarus, and they're going to sweep down and try to put an end to the war, because that will put an end to it. Once, in other words, the line of contact is about 2,000 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he wants to end it, he's going to have to break the hearts and break the will of the average Ukrainian fighter. And by taking Kiev, that will do that. That will signal that the war is over.
Yeah, those guys, I saw those guys, picture them. They just have, like, basic uniforms and AK-47s with iron sights. They're not advanced at all. We're basically the puppet master. We put on their clothing and their face like a mask, and we're the ones that are fighting over there. You know what I'm saying?
And they are. The Ukrainians are very heroic, committed, and courageous fighters. That was the fly in the ointment that Putin didn't calculate. He didn't realize he was going to go up against a people who really were going to fight hard.
Oh, no, they could be hardcore, yeah.
Yeah, and the reason why they are is because they got the limited knowledge. For whatever reason, they let the sin fester in their nation. They let these Zionists get up and take control. When their daughters were being kidnapped and sent off to, you know, to be sex trafficked and everything else, they just didn't do what they needed to do. So there was some kind of spiritual component that the Ukrainians missed. Maybe it was they got mesmerized by the discotheques and the materialistic, hedonistic lifestyle of the West. But whatever reason, they let that sin manifest. And once that happened, then this is what you get. You know, when they were on the line and they were shelling the Donbass and Lugansk, you know, average Ukrainian should have said, wait a minute, what are we doing shelling cities and stuff like that of the Russian-speaking Ukrainians? Why are we doing that? They didn't. And so they let it go. They let it fester for 8 years until it got to the point to where Putin says, you know, enough is enough. And then he came in before there was a great slaughter. He actually knew that it was going to be March 8th, about 2 weeks. He rolled in February 24th.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually had intelligence that they were going to do a big push. They had like 150,000 Ukrainians on the border. They were getting ready to go into the Donbass, Donetsk. And basically, it was going to be a slaughter. And he jumped them before they jumped the Ukrainians. Mm. He actually did what Hitler did to Stalin. Mm. Stalin lined up, and Stalin got ready to do an offensive on the Germans. And the Germans hit them first. And they were all caught in offensive positions without actually being manned. And that's why Hitler was able to roll up. I mean, he captured like 5,000 tanks. He ripped up all their planes right on the tarmacs on all these different airports. He caught like over a 500,000 Russians, had to surrender. I mean, he hit them with the Blitzkrieg. It was called the, Dude guy would know the name of it. It was Operation
Barbarossa. Barbarossa.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he caught him flat-footed. That's what Putin did to the Ukrainians. But with that being said, the Ukrainians have fought hard. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, basically you got whenever you get white boys killing white boys, it's really like vicious. Both of them are exceptionally good at that type of warfare. It's like in their genetic code. And that's what he didn't anticipate. But now he knows that basically, if he wants to put an end to this thing quick, he's going to have to take Kiev.
He started cutting off a lot of that. A couple of weeks ago, he started blowing up their infrastructure. Yeah.
Well, their water's now cut off. Their power was 40%. I think it's less than that now. I think it's down to like 30%. He had cut out 40% of the power. I think now he's cut out close to 70%. The water's cut off now. And so the Kiev is now literally under siege, as far as utilities. So he must be thinking that's what he's getting ready to do. Now, the Americans, we're so vicious. When we go in, we do the shock and awe by the very first day, and we blow up their power, water systems, their power, everything else. I mean, we're brutal. He has not been like that for the last 8 months. He has been, you know, he recognized that it's more of like a civil war among the families than it is like an enemy. But now that NATO's in there, now the gloves are off. Now he's treating it more like a war. Mm. And once you start to treat it more like a war, you get really, really vicious. And that's what he's doing. He's basically turning it over. I think the nickname of the commander, the Air Force commander, is General Apocalypse.
Yeah, that's the guy he brought in.
Or Armageddon. No, General Armageddon. That's his nickname. Mm. Given to him by his own men. And because of what he did in Syria. He didn't mess around with the Muslim Brotherhood or Al-Qaeda. Once the Russians went in there and things were turned over to him, he hurt him really bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, he gave them no quarter. You're talking bunker busters. He tried to find the command and control. You know, no sitting back and smoking hashish, prayers.
I mean, look at what happened to the North in the Civil War and Lincoln until he found Grant and Sherman, who were grinders, you know, who went in there and slashed and burned. Nothing happened. So this must be their version of that guy, right?
Yeah, that's right. It looks like it. And so he's really putting it to him all over. On another front in Seoul, South Korea, Deacon, we got more information out of that. So it does look like it was some kind of stampede event. Mr. Rose put that footage in there. And but something, some kind of frequency went off and caused those people to literally crush themselves. And literally, there's some footage coming out where you see people just packed in like sardines. I mean, you know, they're screaming in terror.
You think it was some kind of electronic thing?
I think it was something, some kind of microwave frequency. Robert Revolt, he talked about it last night on his show.
Yeah.
That was his theory. I thought they basically turned on 5G and caused all these people to have heart attack, but I don't think so. I think he's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can make people get agitated, whatever, like that. Yeah,
and they're disorientated, and then they freak, and they don't know which direction to go, and then you end up with that kind of footage. You're getting out of Seoul. More and more of it's coming out. Mr. Rowe put some stuff in the Revolution Radio host chat. He'll probably post some in regular freedomslips.com chat. So if you go to that, I'm not in that chat. I try.
You should go in there. It's great, man. It's easy to have one. I could help you afterwards, walk you through it if you want, but it's up to you.
Well, I register the name and the the password's been used and the name, and then we'll email you. And then I go and there's no email, and I just get frustrated. It's just like, you know, same thing with all these machines. I've just had a real hard time with the IT, and there's nobody help me. And I offer to make people a millionaire if they would have helped me.
Call me. Let's see if we can do it in just a couple minutes.
Too much water under the bridge now, Deacon. There's too many things people could have done a long time ago. And so I've just to hell with it. So, but the big news is, Deacon, is that 3,700 people have gone missing.
Wow.
So not only was this some type of mass ritual sacrifice event where they freaked all these young people out and they all end up basically crushing each other, asphyxiating one another, you know, all the heart attacks or whatever. But there's an awful lot of people that are missing. So they probably, a lot of these people, a lot of these young people that were involved in the initial mass stampede, when they were actually pulled out of the pile and they were still alive, then they were taken to probably an underground base. Mm-hmm. Where they're being held for a ritual sacrifice.
Or body parts or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, for whatever. Right. And
this stuff is sick, man. It makes me almost want to throw up, dude. It's really disgusting.
They thought they were getting out of their pile, and they thought that the authorities that were taking them, because they showed up real quick with like 500 ambulances. I mean, over 10,000 cops showed up. Wow.
And now this is South Korea.
Yeah, Seoul, South Korea.
Oh, the capital. Ooh.
Yeah, even, and then the occultic nature of it. It happened on the night of the 29th.
Oh, that's right, that number deal. Yeah, I remember you talking about those special numbers with that date. Yeah,
right. That's an 18 day. That's a 666 day. So it looks like they're the ones that got it. So I was wrong. I thought there was going to be some kind of nuclear false flag in Kiev. But that whole thing got tied off. Whatever happened, the CIA director showed up. Putin said he will never use nuclear weapons in Ukraine, and boom, it went away. The tension was released. But, let's see. I'm just looking at some of the...
Yeah, I was going to say, what else did you want to... What else you got out there, man? Yeah.
Well, the Paul Pelosi thing turned out, and I didn't know this, but Paul Pelosi's a hardcore, like Rock Hudson style,
homosexual,
cruising gay bars.
Yeah. So Nancy's the beer. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he loads up on Viagra.
Is that right?
And then at 80 years old, he goes cruising gay bars.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And then it looks like there is a couple of homosexuals in there, and more than one hammer. Looks like a couple of them had hammers. So
was that part of the sex toy or what? Or is that what's up with that?
Who knows?
I mean, did you see they scrubbed it from the internet? I saw pictures of that guy's house. He's a freak. He's got Black Lives Matter and rainbow flags all over his shit, his property and all that. And real freak.
Oh yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing, the last thing, because I know Dude Guy's going to pop in here soon, is that so we basically got four models of what's getting ready to happen in the next 8 days. Mm-hmm. On November 8th is the election. And so you got the Gingrich and the Dick Morris model. Basically, Gingrich says the House is going to be taken over by the Republicans in a 50 vote or 50 seat swing. Morris says it's going to be a 40-seat swing. On the Senate side, Gingrich says it's the Republicans are going to win by they're going to take 7 seats in the Senate. Dick Morris says he thinks it's going to be 54, but it could be 56. In other words, Gingrich could be right. The second model. Okay, I got a truck here.
digging. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, we've got, you know, we've got the elections coming up here, and I don't know where all this is going to go. I'm thinking that my preliminary thoughts are that Biden, the Biden-Harris administration, the leftists have screwed things up so badly, and they screwed up the not only economy from anywhere from inflation down to the housing, you know, the mortgage rate and everything like that, and all this money that's been pumped into the Ukraine for the war and all this other stuff. I really do think that I don't know that so-called quote-unquote Democratic Party was viable anymore for them to – and I think that the reason why they put leftists and these freaks in there is because, you know, it's easier for them – you know, they can let them go ahead and play their games with the domestic terrorizing American people with the domestic policies, which are sick and disgusting and anti to any kind of human being whatsoever. But while people are distracted with all the leftist disgusting things that they want to do, the folks, the people that pull the strings with their foreign policy and economic and financial policy and world domination have much more of a free hand to go ahead and screw around and do whatever they want as far as that goes. But I think that maybe they're going to switch the pitcher. Maybe it's time to put a new relief pitcher in. If they do it, though, like I would agree with Dude Guy, you're going to get – if you get majorities in the House and Senate, they're going to be softer majorities, so to speak, number-wise. They're not going to be huge majorities. And they're trying to exercise – out the Trump right. wing of the Democrat, the Republican Party. They want the Trumpers out, but they'll put rhinos in. They'll put Romney-type people in. They'll put McConnell-type people in and that type of thing. So if they right. do
that's
that,
the model
yeah.
they can,
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the first model, the Gingrich, Dick Morris, is like a serious red wave. You're talking a sweep, almost like a 1994 Contract with America type of event.
Yeah, it ended up being a Contract on America, but go ahead.
Right. The second model is Dude Guy's model, and he's looking – he's saying 20, 25 seats in the House and barely winning in the Senate, like, you know –
yeah,
52.
Just one or two so they can twist the arms of the
right.
rhinos, you know, put them up against the wall, whatever
right.
like that, force them, yeah.
And then the third model is they give up the House, but they do like a 50-50 split in the Senate. The Democrats still maintain control. And the fourth model is my model, and that is they rush a cyber attack, a power grid, and we have no elections on the 8th. Go ahead, Deacon.
Okay, we'll be right back with Hijacker. Don't go away.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda.
countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
David Dungeon from Shiny Side Out. You're listening to Revolution Radio. And now we return you to Liberation Nation with Deacon John.
Hey, welcome back. Don't forget we are listener supported here. So if you want to support the station, if you want to support Liberation Nation, go to either freedomslips.com or revolution.radio, make a donation, and we appreciate that. Back at the second half here with the hijacker, Putin clarifies position on grain deal, RT.com. Most of the agricultural products Ukraine exports under the deal do not reach those who need them most, the Russian president said. Grain deal between Moscow and Kiev has not met its stated goals, Russian President Vladimir Putin said on Monday. Most of the Ukrainian agricultural products exported under the agreement have not reached the poorer nations they were supposedly intended for and have instead ended up in Europe and Turkey. He argued Putin said Moscow was suspending its participation in a deal, but not withdrawing from it. The deal was promoted to secure the interests of the poorer nations, he said. According to Russian intelligence, the real structure of Ukraine's grain reports is vastly different. Quote, we agreed to that grain deal precisely in the interests of the poorer nations, the Russian president said. On the whole, it looks like 34% of the Ukrainian grain gets to Turkey. 35% or more is taken by the EU nations, and only between 3 and 4 or 5%, according to our agricultural ministry, goes to the poor nations. They hit a couple of their ships over the weekend, right? So where are we at with this grain deal here?
Yeah, they did a big, massive drone, 9 aerial drones, and then I think 7 underwater drones. Hit Sevastopol, and we're hitting the ships. But no, they're right. Yeah, only 4 or 5% of the grain shipments. So, like, out of the 200 that's been released, you know, less than like 10 ships have actually gone to the poor nations, which means we're looking at literally we're on the precipice, Deacon, of seeing something we haven't seen for a really long time. You'd have to go back to when me and you were kids. We kind of remember it, but there was some kind of famine or something. I don't know if it was China or what. We were little at the time, but I kind of remember it. But we're about to see multiple tens of millions of black right. Africans basically starved.
Well, that means they want those people. They want that land for whatever they want it for. They want them out of there. So they're using this as an excuse. Why? I don't know. But obviously this is targeted because they want them off the land, right?
Right. And the other thing that's coming into view is that the technological superior West, both with its political institutional structures, as well as its economic and like business type structures, when that becomes dysfunctional and it's mainly held by, white Christian nations, what you would call the West. But when that group of people become dysfunctional, either through war or by intent, then what you're talking about is the whole world's going to feel it. I'll be right back, Deacon.
All right. Yeah. So, this is something, it's pretty, I don't want to say predictable, but I mean, what happens is, we go ahead and strike or put a financial sanction on or do something, sabotage, and then the other side reacts, and then we turn around and say, look, it's them. Look what they did. This is the same thing in the NFL, right? The guy who hits back, right? The lineman who does it, not the guy who gets hit first. The ref only sees the guy who hits back, and he gets the penalty. That's what this is. And, we're really good at that. For example, now what you're going to see after Putin come out and said this, you're going to see the headlines and in the mockingbirds, the mainstream media say that it's Putin's fault. He's starving poor nations, poor people. He stopped the grain deal and all this other nonsense. And that's the way we operate. It's a cheater's delight, right? These people that cheat, this is the way they operate. And, their propaganda and the mainstream media is going to come out and blame Putin, and they're going to say that he wants all these Africans and poor nation people to die and starve. And look at the suffering and the starving over there. They're going to put little kids starving on TV. This is the way that they do these things, right?
Right. And they're going to blame Putin. He's going to be the red-eyed, horned. Evil devil that did it.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. He's going to have to end this war quick, which means he's going to have to take Kiev. He's going to have to go decapitate. And I'm sure if he can get the Chechens motorbikes with mud tires, I'm sure they can take Kiev. If they let him go as one unit.
Right. Yeah, that might work.
He's going to have to do something out of the box to put an end to this. But if this thing drags on for another 6 months, more and more of the numbers are coming out now. Even though this Joe Bloggs on YouTube, he's anti-Putin, he does do a fairly good job, and it's pretty fair about the economics of what's actually happening. And he basically breaks down, what this mobilization has done, and of course all the sanctions or whatever for Russia. And even though they'll survive or whatever, they're getting ready to go through their stress too, but it's more of a delay. But if this thing drags on for another 6 months, 8 months, another year, Russia's going to be feeling it too. But I almost think, based on what Putin has done, is that he actually believes that we're in World War III and we're in the early stages
right.
of it.
And sure.
He's setting up his structures for kind of a long haul, which, by the way, Greg McGregor, that Colonel McGregor, he basically is saying that what he's getting from his intelligence sources, and he's a former lieutenant colonel, general, something like that. He's only a one star, or maybe he's a lieutenant colonel. I'm not sure exactly his rank, but he's fairly well up there. He seems to know a lot of these different people, and has interacted with people like Petraeus, and all the rest. But what he's saying is that the Russians are building up a about 100,000 man force right there in Donetsk, in the eastern part. They're building up another 100,000 man force with tanks, armor, the same in the east, in the south, and that they're building up another force in the north in Belarus. And he says that once the ground is frozen, from those three different directions, they're going to hit them all at once. And he thinks that's going to be the plan. And he basically says that the Ukrainian army is spent. They're paper thin. In fact, Scott Ritter says that's why they came up with this dirty bomb situation, is to be able to draw NATO in, because they know the war, they're losing the war. Which, by the way, it's pretty much confirmed now that over 100 and all, 100, almost 150,000 Ukrainians have died in the war. A lot of people believe as many as 40,000 Russians, and that close to a couple hundred thousand Ukrainians have been wounded, lost legs, arms, you know, been severely wounded. They're off. So that's about 350,000, what you would call casualties, either killed or wounded where they can't fight. And so the Ukrainian army is spent, and they were the best of the best. They were the most seasoned type fighters that the Russians cracked through. And so now they're paper thin. And so once the Russians, you know, now they're organized, they've done the mobilization. And so once the ground is frozen, once these guys roll, he said, McGregor says it's going to be paper thin. They're going to punch through on all sides, and they're going to go right up to the Dnieper, Dnieper River, or Dnieper, 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 Dnieper River, that cuts Ukraine basically in half. It's a real long river right there. And they're going to roll right up to that, and as well as take Odessa. And so we will see exactly what, you know, if what he's saying is true. But that looks like what the plan is.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to find out. But we're thinking that when does the ground freeze enough for or winter operations? You say as early as November over there in that area.
Yeah, it's starting to right now. It's getting cold now. And so it takes a couple of weeks for the ground to freeze once you get the real cold to set in. And the real cold should set in probably 2-3 weeks where, you know, you get the ground actually freezes. And so kind of close to the end of November. And then the Russian army is going to roll, and there's not going to be a whole lot that can stop them. And so also most of the Ukraine now is either without power or like rolling blackouts. And their water's being shut off. So they're getting prepped for, you know, full scale Russian offensive. And when it comes, it's going to come, pretty brutal. So, we'll see. We'll see basically what's going to happen here. But on the election front,
yeah,
I think they're going to blame the Russians did a cyber attack. I think it's going to come right around the 5th of November. They like those kind of dates, you know, sort of historic dates, you know, like V for Vendetta. Remember the 5th of November. And so they'll do some kind of massive cyber attack, which will all our power will go out for about a week. But it will be over, you know, it will be during that period of time where we get the voting on November 8th. And then Biden will come out and say, you know, the Russians hit us with a massive cyber attack that knocked out our power grid. And we're going to postpone the elections until in the early spring of 2023. And I think that's how they're going to do it. That way they don't lose control of the power. And they don't lose control of the narrative as we go into this, right. this you know, cold, dark demonic winter. You know, because we got the death wave coming up from the jab, and we've got the food scarcity, we got the fuel shortage with the diesel, we've got all these, you know, supply train. We're getting hit, literally, all these different, over 200 food processing centers have been burnt down. No investigation. What's the FBI doing? They're running down parents at school board meetings, calling them terrorists.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
So, okay, good. We got Duke Guy here. So let me yield the floor here, Deacon. Go ahead.
Hey, welcome, Dude Guy. We were just going over. Putin gave a speech today about the grain policy, stating that they're ceasing shipping of the grain from the Ukraine, but they're not withdrawing from the agreement because they blew up a couple of Russian boats over the weekend. Go ahead. What do you got today?
Yeah, I would suspect that cooperation is going to be pretty difficult as the intensity of the conflict continues to ramp up. They're fighting for what is going to be a long-term dividing line between East and West and valuable territory going forward.
Yep.
Excuse me. So I just expect we won't know the final borders for a while.
Oh, so do you think McGregor's right that the
Natural Law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's iPhone thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Zero X E 05.